On Wednesday nights, here for the last handful of services, we've been taking a look at the subject of purity. Brother Paul writes to Brother Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:22, and he admonishes him, "Keep thyself pure." We've been taking a look at this word pure. Synonyms for it are innocent, modest, perfect, chaste, clean. And purity is something that we need to seek and strive for as the children of God. We took a look in the book of James how to understand about how it is with sin that can still work in us, and we need to lay that aside and steer our way clear from that to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Our conversation is that in which we need to be found pure. That's how we live in this life, what we think, what we say, and what we do. We looked in particular about what the Scripture says about our thinking, that we need to think pure thoughts, and whatsoever things are pure, there in Philippians 4, we need to be thinking about those kind of things. We have a world and our own flesh and that comes at us, and even our past and things that we carry with us baggage-wise that can come up. And the only way that we can get away from those things is by displacement. Displacement of the things of God and the good things of the Lord in His Word, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We can't just by sheer will, grit, and determination force it out. It must be displaced in the way that we're made. You try to resist that in your heart and your mind in regards to thinking, and it will just overcome us. We've got to displace it by the Word of God and the things of the Lord. Then we took a look about what we're to say, we need to be pure and how we speak. A good conversation, including our speech, and how it is in the church that there's different age groups in the church, and we need to be teaching one another the things that we all know, the older to the younger, and even the younger to the older. We can teach one another, and we have a command and admonition and challenge from the Lord to purity in the things that we speak. And so we need our speech to be always seasoned always, or our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. And remembering what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, that even if we have the ability to speak with the tongues of men and of angels, we need to have love. And we're going to touch on that tonight about how that is the fruit that comes from us, and it is the pure fruit that is to come from us. Tonight we want to take a look at what we do, our doing. So in that of conversation, what we think, what we say, and what we do, we want to take a look at that. And so there's passages that speak and touch on that. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we know that this passage here at the beginning of the chapter is speaking to wives. But the thing is that behavior, there's no behavior that's good for one child of God is not good for another, and even across the genders. And so even though it might be gender specific, and there might be things that specifically go toward and instructed toward that gender, if it is a more general, not gender specific thing, it's good for all of us. And we just want to take a look at here about our doing and what the Scripture says here. Likewise, ye wives, 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And so in particular, what's being written about is the submission of the wife to the husband. But as husbands, we know that we are to be submission to Christ, right? And that headship order that's given. And so, but here it speaks to us, and generally we can take this about how we are looked on by others. Others are watching. You know, we're watching one another. A lost and dying world, the neighborhood is watching us. Our children are watching us. I was thinking about something here recently. My pastor would tell this. He was saved when he was a boy, I think around 12 years old or such. And when he was saved, he wanted to tell everybody about how he was saved and how the Lord saved him and wanted them to be saved too. One of his friends said, hey, Wayne, you're doing that all wrong. I said, what? He said, yeah, you're doing that all wrong. What are you talking about? He said, I'm just telling everybody what happened to me, and I'm glad for it and thankful for it. And said, I want them to be too. I want them to be as rescued and as happy as I am and rejoicing in the Lord about that. And he said, no, you got it all wrong. He said, look around. Look at the adults. Are they doing that? And sadly to say that in that church, the answer was no. And so then he just was quiet. Because that was the example at hand. So we're watching one another, and our children are certainly watching us. And whether it's the little subtle thing or what we call the major thing, they're watching us. And they're learning from us. And they will use what we do and what we say as justification for themselves when it comes time. It's just that way. And so we need to know that. So here the wives can win others by their conversation. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And there's the word pure, same word for purity that we see over in our text verse there in 1 Timothy. Chase a pure conversation coupled with fear, fear of God, fear of the Lord, what he says in particular here about their role, their position, their office given by the Lord, that of a wife and a mother, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair. So here's instruction about that conversation and the doing of it, okay? Help to correct the thinking that the doing might be honoring to the Lord, whose adorning let it not be that of outward adorning of plaiting of hair or of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So the Lord's looking on, and then others are looking on, an example. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so this chaste conversation, this right way of operation, of doing in our lives, we need to pursue after that. In 2 Corinthians 7, we'll touch on this, another way of looking at the subject of purity and the use of the word. The church here, it had to deal with a wayward church member. 2 Corinthians 7. They'd had to deal with a wayward church member and involved in fornication and an adulterous thing too going on. And so the apostle had to instruct them about that, and they evidently dealt with that as he instructed them and such. And then in time, that man was repentant and was sorrowful about his sin. And so then he instructed them in the second epistle to receive him back. Okay? And we just want to touch on the one verse that contains the word here, 2 Corinthians 7:11. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. See, in 1 Corinthians 5, they were boasting. They were proud about their willingness to just allow such egregious sin in the congregation. And the apostle rebuked them for that. So now they were sorrowed for this brother. That what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal. Even in the other things that they were guilty of as a church, they turned from those things and obeyed. Yea, what revenge. Again, how do we have revenge on our sin and our transgression against the Lord? We do so by obedience. That's the greatest revenge against it. The condemning, if you will, in repentance, saying, I was wrong in the sin that I committed against God. It's revenge against that to be brought back to the right position and right way. Repentance is always good. It's always good. And in this case, it's regarding the children of God in one of his churches. In all things, ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. And so the word for purity is clear. You're past it. You dealt with it. You've turned from it. You've come back to a clear, pure way. To be clear. Are we guilty? Or are we clear? Are we free? Or are we entangled with it? Purity in what we do. And then an interesting passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, purity is the subject. It touches on our relationship with God, of course, our relationship one with another. And so this subject of purity is interesting. It's our purity before the Lord, our purity one before the other, our purity in our thinking, our speech, and our doing. Okay, it has a reach. And it is indeed connected to relationship. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 3, listen to the apostle's desire and the language that he uses here. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, speaking to the church at Corinth there in Greece. For I have espoused you to one husband, which we know is Christ, and that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, that word beguiled is talking about trick. He tricked her. He seduced her into thinking another way, into pursuing another way than what God had given. Through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so notice here the terminology that is used. Again, another word, another synonym for purity or pure is this word chaste. But you see what the word is coupled up with? Chaste virgin. Chaste virgin. For a virgin to be such, they have to do well. They have to pursue engaging themselves with another in these things that would compromise such. And so notice that there's an adder to that description of virgin, a chaste virgin, meaning there can be an unchaste virgin, an unpure virgin. Okay? So it's interesting how that is. Now, you remember how I conveyed to you, and I'm going to tell about this again, how there was a Sunday school class and of boys, and there was a teacher that brought a vase of white roses to the class. And it was probably on Mother's Day is when he did that. And these are tween boys. They're in their tweens, maybe going on teens. And he did this illustrative thing with them. He told one of them, take a rose. And so the boy took a rose and he said, take a petal for yourself. And he did so. And then he said, now pass it to the fellow beside you. It's all boys class. And he took a petal. And then the next boy, and so on all around the table, they all took petals off of that white rose. And then the boy that first got it out, he told him, said, just put it back in the vase. And he did. And they went ahead and had their Sunday school class. And then at the end of the class, when the bell rang and they were to go on up to the auditorium for services, he told each of the boys, said, go ahead out of the vase and get your mother a rose and take it to her since it's Mother's Day. And you know what happened? All those boys, what they did is they took a rose that was whole, that had not been grubbed, that had not had its petals removed. They took a rose that was whole, because that's what everybody wants. They want a rose that has not been grubbed up, has not been plucked, has not been picked, but is whole. And the one that was left was the one that they had picked the petals off of. And he went ahead and later used that as an illustration in regards to that of life. See, a chaste virgin is the instruction. Here, know this, that again, one only has their reputation, innocence, their chastity, their purity, and virginity to lose once. It's just that way. I know it's a prickly subject, but I tell you what, it's a subject that's not been dealt with, and it needs to be dealt with. And so it's essential that we do deal with it in a right way. Many believe that as long as one keeps their virginity, all is well. But that's the threshold of whether you do well with the Lord or not. But here, what's the scripture say? A pure virgin. There's also those other things of reputation, innocence, chastity, and purity. You know, what does our Lord say? If we faced up the Lord Jesus Christ with this, what would he say about the purity in all of action in our lives, our doing? What is the example of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is not our Lord Jesus a chaste virgin waiting to be wed to his bride? Who can deny that? And he indeed is our example, isn't he? Understand that in this passage, a pure virgin is the aim of the apostle regarding this church. That's what he wants for them. Now, in regards to their lack of purity individually, so many times he speaks to them about fornication and that. And understand, these people have been brought to salvation from living in a Greek culture, a Roman culture, a multiplicity of gods, and by the worship of many, the losing of their purity, and that was just a part of the worship. I mean, they've been saved from those things. But then this scripture comes to our time, and we don't have that kind of threat, but we do have other threats and other challenges, don't we? And our young people do, and we do. And here, so he wants them to seek and to pursue purity. And for those that had not given those things away, keep them in the right place that the Lord has designed. A pure virgin is the aim of the apostle regarding this church. And of course it is the Lord's will too, isn't it? How do we know that? Well, we know that because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. He inspired the brother to write it that way. Paul's not making something up here only to apply to this church, but is rather using something that everybody knows ought to be so regarding the bride and the groom. Purity and not have giving themselves away intimately to another, but saving that for marriage. He's using something that everybody knows ought to be so regarding the bride and the groom, but using that as an illustration regarding the Lord and his churches, this church. Certainly, we see that our Lord expects us to keep our virginity, innocence, purity, and thereby our reputation to be given only to the one we and God's design marry for life. And there's where I would like to hear an amen. I don't call for amens, but I tell you what, our children need to hear this from us. They need to hear this from the Lord. And in the future, I'm going to speak more and some more about it in a more direct way. But here, just in this of purity and our doing, in regard to the way the world and our flesh and the way of the world and our flesh, our Lord says to us this in 2 Corinthians 6. Interesting that this church contains, the epistles to this church contains these kind of things. Look here in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. The way of the world and the way of our flesh, here's what our Lord says to us about it. Into this chapter, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them. What's he been speaking about? What agreement what concord is there between Christ and the devil and the way of wickedness? What agreement is there there? How can two unequally yoked be in agreement? What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? So that's what he's been speaking about. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He speaks that to us. And touch not the unclean thing. Don't touch that which is not yours. It may not be evil in and of itself, but if it doesn't belong to you, or if they don't belong to you, the Lord says, don't touch it because it's unclean for you. What's he say? And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And what's that? Well, father is a guide, isn't he? He's a helper. And we certainly know that our Heavenly Father is a sustainer indeed, and a helper, and a lover of his children. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so don't touch the unclean thing. We make ourselves, we give up our purity when we do. See, what we do and say is exhibited in the fruit of our life, isn't it? That, what is exhibited in what we do and what we say, it exhibits the fruit of our life. And what's it say in Galatians 5, 22 through 25? Turn there if you have your Bibles. What does it say? What we do and say is the exhibited fruit of our life. And what is our fruit? Is it along the line of these things, or is it along the line of those things that we've been saved from? In Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's agape love, a love feast. The way the Lord loved us, the way the Lord Jesus obeyed the Father and to do the will of the Father for our sakes. He loved us and gave his life for us and poured out his soul. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's certainly not lust, is it? It's not desire of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Goodness is there, I think, where we find that of purity. To be good, and the way the Lord says to be good, and not follow after the world and the way of the flesh. Faith, meekness, temperance, therein is self-control. Self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, if we belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and desires of it. And so it's work. We need the Lord's help. But therein is purity found. Allowing the flesh just to go, purity is not found there, is it? No, but it's found in crucifixion of the flesh with its affections and its desires. If we live in the Spirit and being saved, let us also walk our doing in the Spirit. And then also, as I mentioned earlier, in love, we are to exhibit this fruit, this character. Remember what it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't say, I want what I want, no matter what. It doesn't do that. It's not puffed up. Charity doesn't know better than the Lord, but charity submits to the Lord. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. Behaving ourselves toward another in a way that is unclean, and touching that which is not ours and therefore unclean. Charity seeketh not her own, but seeks what the Lord says, right? Is not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil. No evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. You know, in the design of marriage that our Lord has given for us, it is possible for all, even young people, to rest in the design that the Lord has for the best that the Lord has. And if charity is exhibited by the children of God in it, they can too can experience all the blessing of the Lord. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And so may the Lord help us in these passages and where it touches upon purity in our doing. May we seek to do well before our Lord and before others. And as I've closed with each of these messages in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we touched on it even Sunday in our study of 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, not later. For another time to get it all straightened up and right in our lives. But now we're the sons of God. And we bring a reflection upon our Savior that everybody around us is walking. You know, we talked about it recently, about this of being a Christian. We are definitely the children of God. But it's a tall order to claim to be a Christian, because indeed, many times, a lot of times, I am not Christ-like. And the accounts in the scriptures tell us that other than Brother Peter bringing out and using that term, it's really up for others to decide if we are Christ-like. We are the children of God. We are the sons of God. Indeed, that we can claim. And I pray that in our life and by the purity in our doing, we may indeed be known as the disciples, the followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man, every woman, every brother, every sister that hath this hope in them purifieth themselves even as he is pure. There's the standard, his purity. And we've talked about and referenced his example to us even tonight. Purity. May the Lord help us that we not take the world's attitude about purity and be embarrassed about it or push it away or think that it's undesirable. Purity is something that we all need to strive for and know that our Lord is interested in our purity, no matter what place we find ourselves. Yeah, we've messed up in the past, but going forward, let us seek to be pure. Let us seek it to be as we've seen recently in 1 John chapter 1, that when we sin, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can make us pure and go on forward desiring purity in what we think, pursuing purity in what we think, in what we say, and what we do. May our Lord help us in that.